just reach out and claim it, for you are standing on holy ground.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we are
seated. It's good to be in the house tonight. I waited all day for this. I yearned all day for this. Just, you know, when you feel the pressures of the atmosphere in this hour right now, just something inside just makes you want to get to the house that much more. And, you know, I don't ever want to forsake this place. Not this place. I'll forsake some things, but I ain't going to forsake this place, you know. I will never turn down a single bite of the word. Not one bite. Go ahead, sis. I'm going to let her go first.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's worth $1 million to me. Just to hear us, to see you. Just see your face.
Amen.
And every once in a while, God would drop a little bit of food. I am so thankful for my pastor and Brother John. Fine people, fine. You know, I just want to say a little thanks. A lot of it's new, Jimmy. And he could be a Cracker Jack. Yeah, as we all know. But anyway, I seen the good side of him. 4 years went by. Better you know how much I requested prayer for him. It just seemed like sometimes it wasn't even listening. God wasn't listening, you know. But then I heard he had that cancer. I kept saying, son, please let me come and see you. Please, I love you. I want to be with you at a time like this. No way. Didn't want nothing to do with me. Never could tell me what I'd done wrong. 4 years, never knew. And never to this day. I don't know what it was, but I don't care. I don't care. I see the side now of my son. I was by his side. Me and my sister would drive it every day. Cross them mountains, you know how they was. Brother Nate knows, and Brother John. But it's really a pretty place, but it's rough. That's where I was raised at. It's right down there in them hills. And that's probably the reason that I can pretty well live about anywhere, you know, because I'm used to it, you know. But there was a few things that Jimmy wanted me to, he would not give up. He'd get on that bobcat, he would work all there. He wanted to get his graveyard finished, and he did. If whatever you know, want to think of it, I'll go back, and he told me, he said, he had his wife standing there, and he said, Mom, I want you to stand by her, and I want you buried on one side and her on the other. I said, Jimmy, is that something you really want? Yes, it is. I said, I'll see to it as much as I can. And I am so thankful that I've made it through this. And now I'm on start a new road, you know. At the rough road's behind me, and it was Amen. Rough, I tell you. It got to where I wasn't allowed to come to see him. But I'd go the next day and the next day. Maybe I'd get to see him, maybe I wouldn't. But I kept on going. And I'm just thankful for the prayers. I know I could feel them. I thank every one of them and every little bit, you know. And I'm just so thankful to be back here. And I want you to know I love you.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Amen.
You have to bear with me.
Shoot.
This message is too good. I couldn't even hold myself down. Just to thank.
Amen.
We're all Cracker Jacks. All crack. Ain't none of us any better. But he said, if you could just believe.
Amen.
I look in this church and I see nothing but believers.
Amen.
I see people who have been through things. Real people with real problems. I love the fact that you can now say, we now know. It's not a matter of I hope I know. It's not I'm not unsure. I don't. It's so no doubt. There's perfect light.
Amen.
Oh, I was just reading and I was just thinking. I was like, you know what? He didn't even reveal it to Jesus, but he revealed it to me.
Amen.
He revealed it to little old me. I tell you what, if that doesn't make you get up and shout,
Amen.
Nothing will.
That's right.
Nothing will. If that doesn't excite you, that you understand what this message is, that you understand that you're attached to a body, a body of ages, that you don't see yourself in that picture, you don't see yourself in that scripture. You're nothing but dead works. Nothing but dead works. If there's, because you know what? When you see that, it does read different. It does read different. Well, he says you should comfort one another with those words. What are we comforting ourselves with? Not with this flesh.
No.
But you know what? We will be caught up again. But we'll see our loved ones. It's a promise.
Amen.
That same promise is the same promise and faith I have for a body change. That same revelation.
Amen.
I love that's not anything new. It's nothing new. It just builds off one, just like Jimmy, just one dig after another. One dig after another. Eventually it gets built.
Amen.
One brick after, you know, eventually there's only so many turns a house can make before it's finished.
That's right.
So many turns it can make.
That's it.
You can be a really fancy house, but eventually you got to come to a point where it's done. There's got to be a finishing of it.
Right.
These are all promises. A wedding supper. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground.
No,
I'm looking to meet my loved ones, and I'm looking to get out of here.
Amen.
This thing is important to me. So I was just sitting there, and I was thinking, it's such a real. It does make you a little crazy.
Amen.
It makes you a little. Because you know what? You start getting nervous.
Yeah.
Because I know where God's at.
Yes.
I'm like, if that door's open one more time, I want to be there.
Amen.
I want to see my body.
Because
you know what? I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know what? You talk different when you got a big group of people around you. When you're by yourself, you're a little scared. But when you got a big group, a big gang with you, you cough confident. You walk confident. You walk different. If I got a 2,000-year body behind me, you can speak. Say, look at me. Look at my feet. Look at my eyes. It doesn't matter what part of the body you are. My hands have a job. My ears have a job. My eyes have a job. Everything has a job. It's a perfecting, a perfection. I love the fact that it couldn't even come. It wasn't even, the life wasn't even the body. The body was dead until 63.
That's right.
And that's when everything came online. That's when the breath was.
That's when life came.
I know who I am.
Amen.
I know who I am.
Right.
That's what you start walking a little bit different. You know what? I read Romans 8 different. Because you start talking about things that will hold you back.
Right.
You start, I'm so sad. I'm so put down. Work so this. Life so this. There's a long list in Romans 8. A long list. Nothing.
Nothing.
Not life or death. That means whether you're standing or whether you're in the ground, nothing will stand against it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
These are promises. These are what I'm going to comfort the body with.
Yes.
Yes. It's not with my words of, you know, you can't depend on me.
Right.
You can try to depend on Seth, you'll fail every time.
That's right.
But I tell you what, there's something within me.
Yes.
Something within me that I can identify with every single one of you here. It's not that, it's not the flesh. The flesh makes mistakes. But I tell you what, I've never seen a more, I read in Romans 19, no, Revelations 19, where he's talking about the bride finally dressed in perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes. Yes.
Clothed in white. That means without a spot, a blemish, without a circumstance, without anything. The bride was ready. And blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper. Do you know where you're going?
Oh, my.
I'm excited.
Woo.
I didn't come here to just sit on a pew and just and be like, you know what? It'd been too long. It made me nervous last Sunday. I was out in the woods. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of seats in front of me. I don't even know how this works. Am I supposed to get up and say something? I want to say something.
Amen.
If I'm part of the last voice of the last age, there should be an earning.
Yeah.
We should want to gather with one another. We should. We're like-minded. It's the same revelation.
Right.
It's the same word. It's nothing new. All we're getting is a better understanding. It's just a tweak.
Yes.
A tweak.
That's all.
And it, you know, for some it's big and some it's small, but you know what? Thank God for the body.
Yes.
Thank God, because the body's still the body. No matter what part of the body you're at,
yes.
It's still the body. It's a perfect body.
Amen.
Wonderfully made. I love that because you know what? It takes the work out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Takes the work out of it. What are you going to do? Well, I got to get the churches ready. Nope. Nope. I don't do sanctification. I don't have to do glorification. I don't have to do any of it.
No.
It's done.
Amen.
All I'm looking for is a body change.
Yeah.
I'm looking to be changed. Yeah. And all that's going to be is just a revelation where he says, you know what? Tweak. Just like we've been tweaking every single service. Just a little bit. Next thing you know, like, okay. Oh, we're already. The Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Oh,
we're already there.
Oh,
what are we waiting for? And then eventually, we're calling the same thing that the body wants. They want a glorified body. I want a glorified body.
Amen.
They want a marriage supper. I want a marriage supper. We're speaking the same thing.
Amen.
We're speaking the thing. He said, we got to prophesy again. It's already been done. I don't want to be cabbaged on something. I want to take that next step.
Yes.
I want to take that next step. But you got to know how to take that next step.
Yes.
You got to know where it's going to be. And you're not going to get it by yourself. The body doesn't move with it moves through the headship of God. It's through the word. It's by his word. That's what the body hears is his word. It's not, it doesn't hear me talking. It hears God talking. It's a many, greater works we'll do. Oh, it excites me. I'm so excited because it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous. Because I take it seriously. I don't want to come up here and just be like, well, I'm struggling. You know what? I am so thankful for what God has given me. I am thankful for the ups, and I am thankful for the downs. I'm thankful that he saw me through it, that he had enough faith in me.
Amen.
That he knew I could do it. Even when I didn't have faith in myself, I still did it. And you know what? You come up smelling better. And the devil make you feel like you're, oh, look what you did. Oh, you know what? But look what he did. He got me up one more time. He got me up one more time. I'm not going to give the devil credit.
No.
So what if I fall 100 times? A believer gets up 101.
Right.
You're not going to sit there and be drowned by circumstances.
No,
That's what the world wants you to do.
Right.
The world wants you to be a victim.
Right.
They want to inundate you with circumstances and statistics and all this stuff. Right. Oh, inflation. You know what? If this world was my home, he would send angels to fight for it.
Sure.
I wouldn't have to worry about anything. But guess what? I'm not looking for it. I know it's going to get even worse.
Yeah.
It has to get worse.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And he says, I'm going to have to even endure it. Because he wouldn't put his bride through that.
No.
He loves his bride.
Amen.
And even when you think it's so dark, you know what? There's always that little bit of light. That just bright enough that you can see what's going on.
That's exactly right.
You may think that, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do it. But you know what? I tell you what, there's one prescription.
Yes.
If you can just only believe.
Right.
If you could just believe. If you can just get to the house one more time.
Amen.
If you can just, you know what, if I can, that woman just want to touch the hem of his cloth.
That's it.
But I get to come in here and listen, talk lip to ear with God.
That's right.
I'm conversing with God, just like Adam did in the cool of the garden.
Yes.
I'm not sitting here like, if I can just touch the hem, I'm like,
no.
Listen. I'm the bride.
Yeah.
I expect more than just, I have some needs. I need something.
Amen.
You know what? You
Amen.
Hold to that. You don't sit there and try to circle. That's what man wants to do, is wants to, well, I need, if I don't see it today, I guess I'll, you know, I'm still holding on to your daughter's vision. I'm still holding to Sister Moore's vision. These are needs in the body that I want still. But you know what? The body wants it. If the body wants it, then I want it. That's how real this is to me. It's such a real hour. So I am just so thankful. So thankful for one. And I say this every night now when I go to bed. It makes it tough to sleep. Because, like, you know what, Lord? I'm thankful for an understanding.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I can read this and I can understand it. It said, bless those who can read and understand and keep his word.
Amen.
And even when I feel like I can't keep his word, he's like, you know what? It's okay. Because you know what? I got a greater plan for you. You can't even mess this up if you wanted to.
Right.
You won't hinder them. You can't even hinder them. What else can you do but believe? That's all a believer. He didn't ask you to be a liver. He said, be a believer.
That's right.
And that's all I can do. That's, you can't do anything else but believe. So thank you for revelation. Thank you that one more time I can come in here and say I'm one of them.
Amen. Go ahead, sis.
I was just in there. I was so excited. I've been excited since Sunday, because when Pastor Moore was talking, you can't say them without us cannot be made perfect, and us without them cannot be made perfect, because there's no them and us anymore. That's just redundant. We're united now. That's like saying my left foot without my right foot can't walk. Like, it's one body. And I was so excited when you're saying that just us by ourselves, we're not the body. We're just part of the body.
Sure.
And it's been getting so real to me. And I've been just thinking, the more that we can just realize how united we are, the closer we are to that united in the air. Because, like you said, they're closer than we think. It's just those stacked layers. And I was just, I've been even praying differently. I went by the valley and I saw they were tearing things down. I was like, that's not even, doesn't even stress me out. I was like, Lord, open my eyes to see that they're here, because I know that they're already here. I have full faith in that. I just want my eyes to be open to that fact.
Amen.
And I'm just so thankful, Pastor Moore, he said during the message on Sunday, that we're already united in our souls in eternity, that we're not worried about our body. Maybe our body's here and their body's just us, but we're already together. We're just waiting for that glorified body. But we are already, in 1963, we are together now. And it's been so exciting that every time I think, like, oh, I understand it, we have another service, I'm like, oh, now I really understand it. And then it keeps happening. I was like, okay, I don't know if I can understand this anymore, but I know that I'm going to get that perfect understanding that just gets us out of here. And it's just so exciting to me. And it feels so real. And even the kids are starting to say stuff. We were driving, and it was a really bad storm. I was a little nervous driving. Luke's like, it's okay. If we die, we get to go to heaven. Like, he's a 10-year-old excited about heaven. Like, that's just how real this thing is to us. And I'm just
so
excited, like Seth said, that I have an ear to hear. And when he said it, that not even Jesus got to see this, it enthused me, because we're just singing that new song. When you were talking about John at the beginning, everyone else was saying it in heaven, he didn't get to, but by the end he was singing that new song too. And I'm just excited that we're united and we're all singing that same song, and it's just such a unity. And I've just been seeing so much lately. It's not us versus them, it's just one body, and it's been exciting me.
Amen. Let's sing song number 141, Nothing But the Blood and the Only Believe. Kia G. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the blood that
God bless you. I was debating whether to say anything because Seth said everything I was going to say. But it's my testimony. It's not, I have to stand on my own words. You know, even though they're the same, but they're mine. And I just want to thank God so much for this revelation. I want to thank God so much for this truth. You know, when we were out in the wilderness, it seems like the words should be in the wilderness because it was just so open. It was so free. It wasn't held in any walls. It was just going out in the universe. And I'm just so thankful for this. And I'm so thankful for the journey that my life has led.
Amen.
I wouldn't change anything because, you know, everything has made me stronger, wiser, and more grateful. And I'm just so happy. I'm just overjoyed. I'm just overjoyed for every trial, every temptation. It's just God.
Yes.
He does it. And then Amen. The thing that I see more and more, that he has already taken care of it. He's like, I'm talking to you. Do you hear me? I'm talking to you in every aspect of your life,
yes.
through different areas of your life, through different people, through different billboards, through different children. If you hear him, he's talking to you all day. And I'm just so thankful for that,
Amen.
That peace and that rest that he gives us. And I'm just going to leave you with one thought that I got when we was coming back. And it hit me. If you change your mind, you change your body.
Amen. Amen. Let me jump in real quick. You know, I hate to interrupt, and I hate to go jump in front of sisters and all this, but you got to jump in sometimes.
So. Right.
Amen. You guys won't quit. You know, I was thinking about how we live, we breathe, we move, we have our being in him. You know, and that's a everyday constant thing. You know, and he's only as far away as you can believe him to be. You know, he's right there with you all day long. And you know, we the only reason we get far away, so to speak, is because we let our minds go. You know, we don't believe he's close. We believe where we got to be in church. That's where we'll get close to him. You know, he said he promised to go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. You know, and I'm you know, I think this thing is just so stirring me in that, just the constant presence of God. You know,
yes.
you look at all these things, you know, you think about your flesh, your spirit realm and all that. We talk a lot about that, but you know, the Bible don't talk a whole lot about that. The Bible talks about he's right with you.
That's
he
right.
said, I'll go
Amen.
With you, even in you.
Even.
You
Amen.
Know, never leave you, never forsake you. And you know, but all this works by faith. It's by faith, by
yes.
simple faith. And that's so amazing to me.
Yes.
Because the only reason any of us are predestinated is because we have faith in the Word.
Yes.
The only reason any of us have ever got a revelation is because faith in that Word. He puts his word out, and when you have faith in it, he rides in on that faith, and he quickens it to you.
Amen.
I mean, it's just so simple.
Simple.
You know, and it's just a key element, just having faith in his word. And, you know, every word that comes forth, that's why I'm here all the time.
Yeah.
That's why I don't miss.
Yeah.
That's why I always want to be where the body's at,
yes.
because that word's going forth.
That's right.
You know, and I want to catch what my brothers say. I want to catch my pastors especially.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's the leadership. But it's the word's in the bride.
Yes.
I want to hear every testimony. I want to hear what you
yes.
got to say. I want to fellowship with you. I don't just do all the talking. I want to hear what you got to say.
Amen.
How's God
Amen.
Dealing with you?
Yeah.
That's what's going to stir me. You
yes.
know, make it
yes.
stronger for me.
Yes.
But faith in that word is what he rides in on.
Right.
And that's what revelation is. And that word will come forth one day. You know, I was thinking about how that, you know, this bride, when the seals were broke, he said, when you get a people up here, can look all the way back and see what it has done.
Yes.
You know, and 63 finished it.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Yeah, you know, we didn't know it, but 63 finished it. Maybe
yes.
we're just trying to understand it, finally. But 63 finished it. He married her.
Amen.
He brought life to the body. He married her. That's all he's going to do on this side.
Right.
He's taking her to the home honeymoon. There's nothing in between. He doesn't stop to take pictures.
Yeah,
you know, he marries her and he goes straight to the honeymoon. That's how this works, and God is just he's waking us up to the fact.
Yes.
You know, Seth was talking about, you know, we're not worrying about being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. It was finished in 63.
Yeah.
The bride was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost,
yes.
on her feet, every bit. You know, Brother Bram said the seventh seal didn't add one mystery, didn't bring one mystery. It was all finished. The whole written word was complete.
Amen.
And when you got his word and you got a people believing that word, he'll ride right in on that word. If you want God close, keep thinking about that word. Just stop to think about that word. How great this is. Whatever revelation, if you only got one, think about that one revelation.
Right.
And he'll be right there.
Right.
And you know, and when it comes forth, it just amazes me that this is so simple. You know, Satan makes it so hard. You know, all these different avenues and all this kind of stuff he brings, you know, and things of life. I've got something that answers everything I come to in life.
Yes.
And I wouldn't even call them problems. It's just life.
It's just life.
It's just life. You reap what you sow.
That's right.
You know, pay your taxes and, you know, and whatever, you know. I mean, just do the things that life requires and believe in His Word.
That's it.
You know, if you go out here and you know, try something else, good luck. It's just not going to work. But faith in that Word is what brings it. That's what brings revelation. And we believe in the Word every time it comes forth. You know, we can't miss the rapture. That's how it comes. Like Brother Moore said over and over, it's just one more revelation.
That's it.
You know, the same as we look back and we say, well, it was finished in 63.
Yeah.
That was just revelation. The Word came forth. I believe it. He's quickening it to me.
Right.
Simple as that.
That's it.
And I think, Lord, this is so simple, so beautiful.
Amen.
Such a rest. All things work for my good. Amen. He lives and breathes and has his being in me. Amen. And not only be with me, but in me.
Amen.
You know, He's in me by way of the Word.
That's right.
As I take the Word in, He's in me.
Yeah.
It's not, it's, you know, we think it's, I don't know, magic dust or something, you know, but it's just simply taking in the Word, and He dwells in me, and He leads me by way of me taking in His Word by word, by way of He leads me by the Word. You know, that one song, it talks about, you know, I love Your voice. You know, You've led me through the fire. How? By His voice, by His Word. You know, my sheep know my voice. A stranger they won't follow. And you know that it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to me. After a while, you drop all these traditions, you know. And, you know, ever since 63, the bride's just, we living anyway, it's just dropping tradition. Ever since you receive your new revelation, like Brother Moore said, that one revelation, like Brother Moore said Sunday, you got one revelation and 99% you. Nothing but your thinking. Nothing but your tradition. And we, by our tradition, do make the Word of God in effect.
Amen.
We can. But we drop our tradition every time the Word comes forth. And but I love this way that works. I praise Him for that.
Amen.
Just the simplicity.
Amen.
You know, Brother Brand talks so much about the simplicity of this thing. And it's beautiful.
Amen.
We sit there and we so to speak, struggle with things. We work through things. Let's put it that way. We work through things that we come up in life. But He's always got a way out, always raised up a way of escape. And He's just real and ever-present. He's always right there. And he's as big a God as you can believe Him to be.
Yes.
And I got a lot of faith. I believe Him to be real big. I believe He can take my life and lead me every single step of the way.
Amen.
And through all my so-called traditions that I still have, because I'm dying every Sunday, so I know I got traditions. I keep dropping them, so chances are I've probably got a few more. But then when that last tradition is dropped, when that last little thing is dropped, and you know, not even so much that, but when that final word comes forth,
amen,
and that revelation comes forth, that word comes forth, and I put my faith on that word, and He rides in on my faith and quickens that to me, I'll take a body change.
Amen.
Yes.
And it's just as sure as, it's more sure than anything in this world.
Amen.
And I love this,
amen,
the simplicity of it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, sis.
Amen.
Yeah, I will.
Amen.
I already had cement in my feet over there, so if I go back, I'm not coming. But I'm just so full.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, Sister Michelle said it's your testimony, even if it's the same thing that you all said. But what I got Sunday was not just that minor, majoring on a minor, that handkerchief. That was something else. But what I heard, a couple things that stood out for me, is when you look for people in the body, look for the ones that you know.
Sure, yes.
You're going to look for them, but you don't know what they look like. And that just made so much sense to me. And it brought me so much closer to the family that we've lost already.
Amen. Yes.
In the body, yes, and personal family. And the more that this opens up to me, it's just so real. And I can't put it into words, but
amen.
Another thing that, that really stood out for me is when you said something to the effect of, there's not going to be any oceans in the new world. And I'm so carnal. I said, no oceans, what? Because I love the ocean. But it just made me think about, it just made me think about how many people are going to really be there. It's not too many when you're giving life to other people. There's room for one more.
Amen.
And that's what I like about going into the world, because I'm shining my light, whether I think I am or not. But they see it. People talk
that's
to me.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, here we go. But it's just being yourself and know that you are representing something so much bigger than
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And before I came to this church, it wasn't a whole lot before that, but before I came to this church, I knew nothing. I mean, seriously, I didn't have to come in here and change my thinking except for the world thinking, because I just didn't know anything about the Bible. And now I feel good about what I do know. I don't know everything, but I know some things.
Amen.
I know we have served seven churches, church ages. I know we're in the eighth day.
Amen.
I know I'm one of them. I know I'm going. I know it's already in me. All you guys are doing is tweaking it and pulling it out. Those are things I know. I don't know everything. But I thank God for what
Amen.
I do know. And I'm glad to be here tonight. So whoever's preaching, pull it out of me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brother Jerry, can I say something? Come on up.
Amen. Amen.
I think everything's already been said. You can be seated. No need standing. I really appreciate it, Brother Moore's message the other day. And you know, you learn a lot just by listening. And sometimes we have to slow down. We have to slow down. And I like what Brother Moore said about thinking getting in the way. Thinking gets in the way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Now, that doesn't mean you die. It just means you've kind of separated yourself from the right thing. And so when you drop that thinking, you just bring yourself back up and you keep moving. And that's what happens. We continue to die. Paul said, I die daily. So he had a lot of tradition, didn't he? And we've had a lot of luggage, I guess, through time, and we've had to get through things. A lot of luggage is your thinking. But you know, the nice thing about it, when you step into eternity, everything comes into full view. And you can't tell it all. You cannot explain God, but you can know God. But you can't explain it. And so Brother Brandon preached the message, doors, plural, doors indoor. Amen. And so once you make it through that door, you've got all kinds of doors to go through. And some of those doors might be experiences. They could be a number of things. But behind each door, you're going to learn something. Amen. And you know what? You may just have to drop something when you go through that door. And so that's the good thing about it. You know, this has really been fun, hasn't it?
Yes.
And it's really not a hardship. And sometimes we create our own hardships, if you might say that. And you think, well, I learned a lesson there. But all is well. We're in God's hands. And when you come to the real truth of it, God loses none of his own. The body was before the world ever was. It was already configured. It was already known what was going to happen. If he knows every little gnat, that's pretty awesome, man. And so it's a good thing to know God for yourself. and to, but you got to know him for yourself. You know, I try to tell the people, don't serve God for your mom or for your dad. Serve God for yourself. Don't serve God for your husband or for your wife. Serve God for yourself. Because if something happens, you still got to know that God is still real.
That's right.
You've got to keep moving. And I told Jim, walking in, he said, "Look like you got something on your mind." I said, "The only thing I've got on my mind right now is rest." And so I didn't really come here. And but we love everyone, and we had a good time Sunday there, Brother Moore. And it was a good time, and I appreciated everything, and really enjoyed that message. And I didn't really know what you titled it. I wrote something down, but it was like a uniting time or something I wrote down. But but it was a great message, and God knows how to pull it all together. Amen. And it's all in His timing.
Amen.
And we always want to love one another, don't we?
Amen.
And when you think about dying out the things, and if you look what God is so many, many things.
Yes.
God is, he's uniting. God is united. That's a quality about Him.
Amen.
God is understanding.
Amen.
God is faith. God is so many, many, many things.
Amen.
And when you look at the seed, everything, Brother Moore said, everything is in the seed. Everything. Everything that you will ever be is already in you.
That's right.
And God loses none of His own. He don't lose nothing from the seed, does He? Because that seed is Him. That seed is the real you. And when you step into eternity, you may as well just go ahead and step into all of it.
Step into all of it.
Step into the whole thing.
Amen.
And you'll discover many, many things.
Amen.
And you'll begin to drop all things. And
Amen.
You'll pick up so many, many things.
Amen.
It's very humble.
Yes.
And God is so great that He made Himself humble for the simple.
Amen.
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 I love the Lord Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
But I know I love Him because I love you.
Amen.
Isn't the Lord good to us?
Amen.
He made it so simple, and we're having a good time, aren't we?
Oh my.
There's a lot of things going on out in the world, and I look at the love of the world. I call it worldlyism. I didn't come to fight for the worldlyism. I did this. The world is not my kingdom, He said. Well, if it's not His, it's not ours. And when you look at everything coming down through time, it's the identified Christ of all ages.
Yes.
And it makes it complete. It makes the entire body, but it's the identified Christ of all ages. You are the identified Christ for this day.
Amen.
And the only Jesus, the only identified Christ that the world will see is the one in you.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Jerry. Just stay tuned for the announcements, and thank you.
I want to give one here.
Yeah.
Important one, and then I'll get out of the way. Because I'm not preaching tonight. we're going to the point where we're going to put up the sheets to sign up for the trip to South Carolina. So I want to talk about it a little bit. Keep your nose handy here. Nah, teasing. We're going to put up sign-up sheets on Sunday. And the services are October 17th through the 20th. The 17th is a Thursday. And what's going to happen is one van is going to leave Thursday morning at 6 a.m. And these are 15-passenger vans. And you should plan to leave on Thursday and stay all the way through the service on Sunday. We'll come back after Sunday's service in the morning where we eat that lunch. Get back late. Late being it could be 2 or 3 in the morning late, you know. So just know that, too. Then a second van, the other sign-up sheet, leaves Friday. Friday morning at 6 a.m. is the plan, and you can sign up for that. And what we're going to do is post those sheets back there, and the first 15 slots that get signed up, that's who's going to go. Now, keep in mind what we've mentioned. You know, if there's a 16 spot on there, just put your name on there because we may decide not to allow kids to go. But for now, if you want your kids to go, sign it up, and we'll get that decision made after we see who all signs up. But the sign-up sheet's going up on Sunday. You can leave Thursday and be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and service on Sunday and come home, or you can leave on Friday and stay through Sunday, same thing. And we'll be taking a van. You should be thinking about this a little bit too, though, because hotels, you know, probably at least $150 a night, so the number of nights, multiply by that. We'll talk about when the money's due later. You know, some food you'll need to support yourself on, so just be thinking a little bit about the cost too. And but it'll be a good time. No doubt about that. If we even make it there, if the rash doesn't happen first, it'll be a good time.
Amen.
So I think I got everything covered. At least get us started.
No fighting Sunday.
No fighting Sunday. And as we move forward, you know, we'll share a little bit more details about the exact cost of the hotel because we're trying to see who signs up and get some of that information and when the money's due. But for now, sign up starts on Sunday. First ones to sign up, that's who's going. Put you and who you want to take with you. And if we decide not to take kids, we'll make that decision later. If you're feelings are hurt and you're in the 16th spot, sign up because you never know. You just never know. So that's the announcement. Looking forward to a good time and looking forward to the preaching tonight. So God bless you.
Amen.
And those are the announcements. I just love how God does things here because, you know, when I don't know something, the body comes in. Amen. And so, you know, I know how things work around here. And it's even down to the music. You know, Skylar and I were in the back there, and I said, you know, I want to fit in this song here. We Are Standing on Holy Ground. And it was the very first song that we came out on. You know, God, he's got everything in his hands.
Amen.
When you think that just it doesn't make sense, it makes perfect sense.
Right.
So just be still.
Right.
And just trust him.
Sure.
We're way beyond not trusting him. Let it go. Like Brother Jerry said, you just drop it. Drop everything you think it is. And it just works better that way. I just got one more thing I want to share real quick because, you know, just the little thing that I got out of the message when we were at camp was Brother Moore, he said this scripture out of Revelation 22:17, and we always say it, you know, it says here, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. But I never read past that ever. So when I read past that today, it said, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know, there's a difference between this scripture, kind of a difference between this and Revelation 10, 8 through 11. You know, in Revelation 10, 8 through 11, you know, it's, we had to go out there and prophesy. And, you know, I started making me think about my walk in this message, you know, and when I first come to it. And, you know, I wanted to go out there and tell people about this thing because I'm like, man, this everybody should get this. But I fell on my face with that, you know, and I did more harm than good trying to give this to people because not everybody freely wants this, you know. But I felt like, you know, as freely as I've received this, you know, freely give it.
Sure.
You know, and I'll still continue to do that. But this right here settled me down. Somewhere along the line, this scripture here moved in, and it set me straight. I don't have to go out there. They're going to come to me. All that the Father has given me will come to me. I don't have to do anything. I have an ordained appointment with people. You know, and the other day I missed my turn coming up Dayton Yellow Springs, and I wasn't paying attention. I was like, oh, man, you know. I turned on a street I've never even knew existed here in Fairborn. And I've been everywhere in Fairborn. I know pretty much this whole town. But I never knew Vine Street. So I turned down there just to go back to Superior to get back on Superior. And some lady, she kind of, you know, gave me the middle finger. And I kind of laughed about it. And, you know, I stopped my truck and I was like, maybe she's having a bad day. Maybe I should just go back there and say something kind to her, you know? And I didn't know what I was going to get myself into. Long story short, her boyfriend helped me and Brother Tommy do a big demo today, helped us get ahead, because they had a need. But I said, when I came back, I said, that's the best way to get a hold of somebody's attention, you know? I guess, you know, she said, I'm so sorry. I thought you were somebody else. I was like, well, you know, here we are. And you okay? You know, and so it you just never know.
but having a good spirit, knowing who you are, nothing should catch you off guard. Nothing should get you out of character, because I know why I'm here. I know who I am. And if you come athirst, because you'll get what God wants to give you.
That's right.
And with that being said, let's sing 139 out of the Only Believe, He Abides, and we'll get him up. Thank you for the testimonies. God bless every one of you.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. He abides, oh, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard about He died upon that tree. Control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides.
Yes, He abides.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. Does He abide? Does He abide? Does He abide? Hallelujah, He abides in me. Sing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. Oh, He abides. Yes, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. I'm rejoicing as I walk this narrow way. For the Comforter abides in me.
One more time.
Oh, he abides. Yes, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides.
One more time.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together and fellowship around the Word. Lord, thank you for the testimonies and the songs that helped get us prepared for the Word. Lord, let the prayer requests go before, the ones that are spoken and unspoken. Touch those that may need a touch or healing. Lord, continue to give strength to the kings as they go through this small cycle that they got to go through, Lord, but we know we're going to see them again. We're going to comfort each other with these words of the prophet, of the Bible, and of you, Lord, all one and the same. Lord, bless the hearing and the speaker. Help us get out of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is good to be here tonight.
Amen.
It is really good to be here. We had a good time at the campsite. It's interesting because, you know, as a parent, you buy your kids toys, and I'm kind of guilty. I'll buy my kids nice toys, expensive toys. They'll dream about games and video games and blah, 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 and I'll get it. And we go out to that campsite, and Brother Don Deskins takes a rock and a string, makes a swing. The most popular toy all day. The kids could not stop swinging all day. They didn't care about a game. They didn't care about a phone. They were just having a great time. Brother Don Dustin was a hero that day. So I appreciate him. But I just saw just God in simplicity. I thought, man, we overthink so many things. We do that with toys. We do that with life. We overthink all these things that we think are going to suffice us. But a rock and a string just fixed it all. Because, I mean, even going down there, I had stopped at, you know, sporting goods store, got a ball, some frisbee, and blah, blah, blah. And he just had a string. I don't even know if he bought a string. He just had a string in the back of his truck, found a rock there, and then made the best toy ever. So it was just nice to see anybody that had a chance to go. We had a good time. And, it's kind of interesting because we go with a lot of amenities, but it is rough in it. I mean, there's a wilderness component to it, you know. There's large spiders and large things, but we had a good time. And you know, I'll say this, and I even told this to Brother John. It was, you know, whenever we have those kind of trips, and we do things like that with the church, to me it feels like a shaking. You know, like it's a change, it's a opportunity. And so, and when you can take part in it, you benefit. You know, and if you make an excuse not to do it, you're weaker. You are weaker. I mean, I've been going to church here for over 30 years. I know what happens when you don't make it to things. I know how you because you start to build excuses, and then you just use it again. You use it again, you know, and because it worked the first time, and you just use it again. And I see it, and, you know, one of the things that, you know, I'm going to get to my message here, and I'm not rebuking anybody. I have my kids that didn't go, and they should have went there. So I'm throwing myself in the boat, but I'm just letting you know you're weaker when you don't go. And I look at that, and I go, you know, the main excuse people use all the time is they'll be like, I had to work. Well, you listen, I'm going to tell you from experience. If you're broke and you always got to work, maybe do something different.
Like, it's not working for you. If every time the church goes on a trip and you're working and you're still broke, you can't take off. That excuse don't work no more. You get another job. Don't hold on to that too much. If it's keeping you away from church and you're broke, I don't know what it's doing for you. It'd be different if you was a CEO of some company and you had to get out of here, you got to go out of town, but you can control your schedule and sometimes you can make it, sometimes you can't. But if you're broke year after year, every time we go to Easter, you can't make it. Every time we have a New Year's service, you can't make it. Every time we have camping, you can't make it. I don't know. I'm just telling you, it ain't working for you. You know, and I kind of got to be like brother Jerry Allen on Sunday. He said, but that's okay. There's more to it. You know, this is the house of correction. That's how he said it. So don't be mad that you get corrected. It's okay. You can come out of here a better person. You can come out of here and go, you know what, the next one, I'm going to make it. And that should strengthen you. You should put some resolve there. You should put some emphasis beside it. Okay, the next time they get together, I'm going to be there. I don't care if they're in the back of the church at a birthday party. I'm going to make sure I'm there. If they're doing a song practice, I'm going to make sure I'm there. But, like, don't lose hope because you didn't make it to the Sunday. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you that you had an opportunity to get stronger, and the next time one comes around, you're going to push that much more because you've already got built-up excuses. You got the kids, they need daycare. The animals needed this, the blah, blah. The way it was set up, any schedule could have made it. The way it was set up, you know, because we went there on a Saturday. You could fellowship Saturday in the wilderness if you wanted to. They had a hotel there, so if you didn't want to be outside, you could have done that. And then Sunday morning, we had church. So you could have made it a part of something. And this is only the people that could make it, right? Like, so if you couldn't make it, you know it. God knows your heart. I don't know your schedule. I don't even know where you work. I'm just telling you from experience of 30 years of being here, I know what happens when you keep putting down. You just get weaker. Come on now. If you're supposed to be working out every day, come on, Seth, back me up on this. If you're supposed to work out every day and you keep skipping days, what do you expect to happen? You get to the end of the cycle and you go, yeah, I did it. And this is the last thing I'm going to say, you know, about that. So it's true. Thank you, Pastor Moore. I was sitting there and sometimes we try to let other people do things for us. And I was there on the camp, on the wilderness thing, and I was wanting some steps. And I was like, man, I want to tell Miss Courtney that I'm walking around, I'm getting things done, I'm moving. So I gave my watch to Adeline. And she got me 10,000 steps. My watch ain't been the same. It's like, you ain't hit that mark since Saturday. You haven't been working since Saturday. What's changed? You got lazy. And I'm like, that wasn't me to begin with. I think sometimes you come in here and you think somebody else singing it is going to get you the steps. You think Seth testifying is going to get you the steps. You're going to have to do these things for yourself. Then you're not going to get the benefit of it. How silly would I be 6 weeks from now? I'm thinking, I keep giving my Adeline my watch and I go, well, I'm getting 10,000 steps. It still seems redder in these steps. And I'm still getting fatter and fatter. I'm like, well, the watch says I'm getting these steps. That's how it is with attendance. You just come here and sit down. You ain't getting these steps. You ain't getting stronger. You just sit here. You got to push in this thing. If you got to give a testimony, give your testimony. If you got to give your song, give your song. If you got to push to get here, push over yourself to get here because it's worth it. Don't wait till you feel good to do it. Do it, and then you'll feel good. But anyway, that was my little 2-cent commercial there. But we were out there having ourselves a great time. You know, amidst all whatever was going on, we had a great time. And I just really enjoyed going. It was great to see the body get together, to learn more about one another. And Brother Jerry Allen preached. You know, we get to Pastor Moore, but Brother Jerry Allen preached. You know, he was talking more and more. He said, there's more to this. You know, even he was talking about even, you know, good living or bad living. There's still more to this. If you messed up in the past, don't worry. There's still more to this. That ain't the end of the story. There's still more to this. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, we're walking in this thing. And there was a time period where we saw Paul as the end. But there was more to this. There was times we saw Pentecostal as the end. But there's more to this. There was a time that we thought just prophesying again would be the end. But there's more to this. Oh, I will not be satisfied until I wake in his likeness. Oh, my. See, when you start putting all these together, then you can see why we get excited. You know, and the last thing I say about this, and because Brother Jerry Allen got me turned on. I was excited. But seeing Seth testify, I thought, you know, Brother Jerry Allen said, God sets a man on fire. And when God sets somebody on fire, he's the one that no man can put it out. I don't care if Seth temperament wanted to put it out. I don't care if Seth wanted to be shy. God turned that man on fire. Amen. So God's got to be the one that keeps doing that. So I thought that. So you know what? That's the truth in all of us. You know, Seth was just an example because he testified tonight. But God set me on fire. He set Jeremiah on fire. He set Pastor Moore on fire. He set Brother Donald. He set you on fire.
Amen.
God sets you on fire. Amen. And the same change that you see in Seth is what we see in you.
Amen.
That's what it should be. We should be able to come here and say, I never saw Sister Mel testify like she knew what she was talking about like that today. She was like, because a lot of times she'd get caught up in her thinking and go, well, I haven't been here long enough to know this, or I haven't done this to know that. But today she said, it don't matter what I don't know. That don't measure that. It don't matter what I don't know. Keep tabs on that if you want to. But what I do know is that I'm in the eighth day. When you say that you're in the eighth day, that means the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh have had to happen, that you recognize it. And if you can recognize your day and its message, that's all you need, because that's the new birth. That's the evidence of it. That's it. There's nothing else to know, Mel. That's the end of it. That's all you need to know. That's what gets you ready for the journey. You should see, in the church world, I have you overthinking everything. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to know that. Oh, I got to. It's the new birth. Let's keep it simple. That's what ties you into this new body. And when you get tied into that new body, that's the end of it. Everything else has been taken care of. So appreciate that. And, you know, I love how Pastor Moore's getting us no longer focusing on us, but us. Right? You know, it's kind of one of those weird things. It's like, you know, they without us. But now it's just us. It's just us. It's just us. The bride body is just us. It's just us. There's life in the body now. Oh, my, my, my. Let's read a scripture as we get started. Because Pastor Moore read a scripture there. He read 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. He read that. But today I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians. And let me see if I can get this pulled up here. I praise God for what we got. Yes, 1 Corinthians 15. And it's verse 50 on down. So a little bit of reading, but I'm kind of like everybody else. Everything looks different now. It's just different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. Even the handkerchief's different now. Now, I'm going to leave that as an insider for the people that were there at the wilderness. The handkerchief is different now. So after service, if you weren't there, get with somebody that was there, and they'll share that with you. But this is different now. You know, God supplying my needs is different now. I see him in all my life. Oh, my mind. Anyway. Okay, so let's read 1 Corinthians 15. Now, this is Paul. And it's a key point that this is Paul. Because Paul didn't know Jesus. Not physically. He had a revelation. And you're talking to a group of people that didn't know Brother Branham. Not physically. But we're the strongest, most revelated group. We weren't there when he shot the squirrels. I didn't go hunting with him. I wasn't in the car when he returned the oranges back. But we got a revelation. And that's better than everything. Now, so 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. It was a mystery. We shall not all asleep. What, Paul? We should not all be asleep. But we shall all be changed. So we won't all be asleep, but we will all be changed. It says, that's why I said it's different. I never thought Corinthians was talking about the rapture like that. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Why is that two groups? The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The uniting. For this corruption, must put on incorruption. And this mortality, our bodies, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. No more death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add his reading and blessing to the word. This is corruptible. No matter how much you clean it up, no matter how much you pray it up, no matter whatever, this has got to go. It cannot inherit the kingdom. It's got to put on something that's incorruptible, something that's perfect, something that Satan has no access to, that something eternal. These are all synonyms. These all mean the same thing. When I say perfect, I mean Satan has no access. When I say Satan has no access, that means it's got to be eternal. When I say it's got to be eternal, that means death has no power there. Amen. And if that means death has no power, that means sin has no power. Amen. When those, all those things come together, only thing that has that capability is God. Amen. I've got to put on God. Amen. That's what this has got. My soul is moving to a whole body, God all in all. Amen. That's even what it says when we get over there. We're going to be God all in all. Amen. Oh, that's what we're moving towards. So my title tonight, I don't even know how I'm going to get there, is Perfect Harmony. Because that was one of the last things Pastor Moore said, and I'm holding on to that. That's gonna be my title tonight. Because I look at all these things and I see that we have a benefit being with this body. Because we have the ability to encourage one another with these words. You know, in this world we go through so much stuff that it's helpful to have somebody to remind you that hey, this ain't as big as you're trying to make it to be. This ain't as infinite as you're trying to make it to be. This problem that you have ain't as big as you're trying to make it to be. These shortcomings that you think you have are not as big as you're trying to make them to be. We are headed to a place where we're going to take off this corruption and put on the incorruptible word of God all in all. And for a few moments, we get a chance to experience just a fellowship where we're all in one mind, in one accord, saying the same thing. That's what it is when you come to church. You get the benefit of not having the distractions. That's why it's important to get in here. That's why it's even important to have testimony and song service. It helps you to remove the distractions so you can fully hear the word of God. Now, we're here only for the word. That's our 100% purpose. But if there's something that's going to help to remove the distractions, because we do have those two other realms, this helps. That's the watering to help get you ready for the word to come across. Amen. So I see sometimes people take this part of the service for granted. Amen. Don't take this part for granted. No. Take it serious. It helps you to get ready for the word. Amen. Even when we're out there, we still had that part of the service. We had a little bit of singing, a little bit of testifying to get you ready for the word. Amen. So if we're going to do it out there, why? When you got microphones and speakers and drums and pianos, why would you take this part lightly? I want to hear your testimony. I want to hear what you got to say. This helps me get ready for the word. Because when I hear that you've overcame something, that helps my faith to build up to get ready for the word. You know, Brother Branham even wanted to pray after he preached. Let me preach and get that word out there. Now your faith is high. Now we can pray because you're in the right space, the right frame of mind. That's how you should be when the word comes across. You should be in the right space, the right frame of mind. You know, well, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? Why are you preaching on that? I'm just saying 30 minutes early was a helpful tent. That helped you to get ready for the word. It wasn't because we wanted you to fill the seats in the parking lot, because we wanted to hurry up and get you in here. It's to help get those distractions off of you, so that way when the word comes across your path, God is free to move. If the song leader wants to get up that 15 minutes early, that's still 15 minutes after the time you're supposed to be here. I'm just saying. Right? Right? In this house correction a little bit. Right? But all I'm doing is repeating the correction that we already got. Dad already said it. I'm just telling my little brothers, hey, if you don't want to get a whooping, they already said to do this. You might want to clean your room, right? Because sometimes, you know, Satan will get in things and go, well, you're not the pastor. You can't tell me what to do. Well, you already got five spirits on you anyway, so I'm not even trying to deal with that. I'm just reminding you what your pastor said. That's just, sometimes people get spirits and they don't even want to hear the truth. But I'm obligated. I'm obligated to give you the truth. I told you about it when it hurts me. When I cut myself, I still got to give you the truth. Amen. Oh, in that same token, Brother Jay, if the truth comes across the path and it's hitting me, I still got to say amen, even if I'm not living up to it. Even if I can't even think I can do it, I still got to say that's nothing but the truth. Amen. Oh, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? I'm saying when the rapture comes across, I don't, to my mind, I don't know how it's going to happen. To my mind, I don't know what molecules got to change. To my mind, I don't know what atoms need to split. I don't know how it's going to happen. But when it comes across, I'm going to do like I did on every other revelation. I'm going to say that's nothing but the truth, and I'm going to be changed. Amen. So there is a precedent here that believers just simply believe. Amen. Oh, my. Because when it works like that, that's when it is in perfect harmony. Oh, my, my, my. You're right. It is well with my soul. You know, I was thinking about a point here, that there's really no death for a believer. And the more I started thinking about that, I started thinking about different times when Jesus, like even Jesus was talking about death and sleep. Now you can go over to John when he's talking about the story of Lazarus. Because sometimes we say, you know, the dead in Christ arise. But then we say sleeping saints. Right? So I'm just throwing this out there for context. Let me tie my shoe real quick. Sorry. It's a real church. I got real stuff. I can do that. I can do that. But I look at that thought, you know, because sometimes we'll say the dead in Christ arise or the sleeping saints. And sometimes that trips me up a little bit. So I'm sharing you what I got. If I'm wrong, they can correct it. But I'm just sharing. Once I saw it like this, it did make sense. So I looked at that and I go, are they dead or are they asleep? Right? Are they dead or are they asleep? And I thought, you know, Jesus had to deal with that. When he was headed to go see Lazarus, he was talking to him. And he said, Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, if Lazarus is asleep, why are we rushing? We'll get there. We'll wake him up when we get there. But he was talking to people that didn't quite understand. They didn't quite believe what was had to happen. And I thought, when you're dealing with people that don't quite believe, I got to say they're dead. When I'm dealing with people that don't believe. Because if I'm dealing with unbelievers, they do die. They do have an end. But when I'm dealing with believers, I just sleep. When I take my loved ones, they're not dead. They're just asleep. I'm going to see them again. They're going to see me again. As I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's even what Jesus did. When he finally was talking to those unbelievers, he said, listen, Lazarus is dead. Did that make you want to hurry up? That plain English, Lazarus is dead, and I got to go. I want to go see him. Okay, well, we better go. Okay. He gets there. You guys know this story. He gets there, and they go, well, Jesus, had you been here, you could have saved his life. And Jesus says, wait, I am the resurrection. Now, and the life, let me read that. Let me read that, Pastor Moore, because you just said something. Let me read this here. And if I can get to it, it's in John 11, but John 11, 25. There we go. There it is. It's in red letter. That made it easy for me to get to. So praise God for that. So, because we preach by inspiration in here. I heard that. He said, I'm the life. And that's the key point here. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. What came to the body? What came to the body? Life came to the body. Oh, we talk about how we're the mind. The mind is good. Having the mind, having the eyes, having the mouth, having the feet. But you got to have life. There's got to be life to that body to make that resurrection power happen. Oh, even Brother Branham was talking about how that, you know, sometimes, you know, people get caught up in abortion and get caught up in this and caught up in that. That baby is just muscle. You know, and it's tough for some people. It's not a living being on its own. It's using its mother to breathe. It's using its mother for life. But those are just muscles that are wiggling around. But when it speaks, when it has breath of life on its own, then it's a life. We were just muscle through the ages, wiggling around. That's just muscle. We depended on somebody else for life. But when we step out, when the bride has made herself ready, when she has life herself, she's standing on her feet herself. That's life to the body. Now the body can move. Oh, we're no longer just muscle. We're no longer just wiggling around now. We have life on the body now. There's life on this scene. Because sometimes, because as you're building the body, we have the eyes, the feet, the this, the that. And then we even go, well, we're the mind. But you still need life. You still need life. Oh, I'm never going to get tired of reciting my story how God healed me. I'm not. So you can just deal with it. I'll quote it till I get out of here. When I was sitting there, laying there, I had a mind. I still had my body, still had my arms and legs. But they were thinking the life was going out because it wasn't moving. You need to have some movement. Matter of fact, when they had the cognitive test to see if they was going to even deal with me anymore, they said, we got to see him do something. He needs to make a fist. make a thumb. We need to see that body move to know that there's life in there. Because if there's no life in there, it does no sense in saving. Through the ages, the body just laid there. Just laid there. And the whole time, Jesus acting in intercessory. But there come a time when the fullness is on the scene that we need to see the body move. I'm going to need to see the body stand up. I'm going to see the body move to get out of here. We can't get out of here laying down. We couldn't get out. The body couldn't even be fully united without that life. That's what gave the body all the recognition of all its parts. That's what let me know what was my hands. That's what let me know what was my feet. That's what let me know what was my eyes. Oh, my, my, my. When you have all those parts working together, that's when it is in perfect harmony. Oh, my, my. You said, what is harmony? And we've had music lessons. Harmony is when two or more, two or more voices are singing the same song, but they're singing their own part. So do I need to sing sanctification? No. Do I need to sing justification? No. Do I need to restore the word? No. Do I need to be speaking in tongues? No. Those are all part of the body, but they're not evidence of what I have. That's not my part to sing in this harmony. My part is to say, dead in Christ, get up. The resurrection is here. Oh, my, my, my. See, because the church world will have you singing in unison, not in harmony. Big difference. Big difference. You're singing in unison. We're all singing. We're trying to sing the same part. You're trying to sing the same words. And it's just a loud bunch of noise. A bunch of people singing in unison is just a scream. But when it's in harmony, now it's a song. It's a song. Now it's got the depth to it. Now it's got variety to it. Now it's got flavor to it. Now it's got something that I want to hear. Oh, my, my, my. This body's in harmony now. Oh, my, my, my. See, I love how God does this. I love how, I just even love what we get. You get that understanding? You know, I was talking to Miss Courtney the other day. We were talking about the rapture, and somebody said to her, like, you know, I think we'll know the day and the time or something like that. And I said, well, there's different steps. You know, there's steps that have to happen for you to even be in the rapture. Right? So if you know the steps, you can see where you're at. Now, at my job, I do project management. Okay? So if you're building a house for somebody, there's steps to it. Donna said, know this. I got to do the foundation first. The shingles should not be showing up on the job site before the foundation's laid. Don't bring one window. Don't bring one door. Don't bring any insulation and let it sit outside. None of those things should happen. There's got to be steps to it. If those steps are happening, then you as a lady or anybody that can look at it and say, that house is almost done. But if you show up to the job site and it's land, no concrete, no walls, no window, then it's not ready to be. It can't be. You can't move in. You know, as we were doing our house, we were like, oh, we want to move in. But there was no water. There's no electric. No heat. You can't. There's steps to this. You say, okay, where are you getting at? I'm saying there's steps to get into the rapture. There's steps to this. So if somebody was saying, oh, the rapture's going on right now, I said, no. Because the rapture's going on right now, it can only go on for 30 to 40 days. So that's one time frame. If the rapture's going on right now, then if the rapture already happened, so to speak, let's do this. The rapture's already happened, then we're in the middle of the tribulation, and the tribulation's 3.5 years. Right? That's another time piece. And if we're in the middle of the tribulation, there should be two prophets over there in Israel. There should be Moses and Elijah tormenting the world. That's another time piece. And if that's happened, then there should be a group of people in the marriage supper that knows what it is. Well, I'm still here. So they can't be up there partying without me. I'm the one that's supposed to get them up. I'm supposed to be leading the charge. I'm the first. You know, Jesus was the first wave sheaf of what it's supposed to look like. But I'm the fruits of that harvest. The body, the bride of Jesus Christ, is the full manifestation of that crop. Jesus Christ is the first wave sheaf to show you what resurrection looks like. But that's not the end of it. Us. This bride body is the whole harvest. Oh, my, my, my. So when somebody tells you something that they just don't know the time. You're trying to move into a house that ain't built yet. You trying to move into something that don't got electric, that don't got water, that don't got heat, that don't have windows, that don't have walls. Even those things are in order. God has an order to everything that he does. Even the order in how he built the body. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, come on now. If he restored the word in Irena's time, that wouldn't have done no good. If Azusa Street happened before Paul, that would do no good. You had to have these things in steps. To even get to the eighth day, you got to know those steps. We know those steps. We have a group of people that knows what's going on in all the ages. We're a group of people that know that ages exist. Come on, AJ, they preaching this everywhere else? They ain't preaching about ages anywhere else. You go somewhere else, they don't even talk about the ages. And you go, why are you not talking about the ages? That lets you know what time it is. You got to watch. You need to know what time it was and what time it's going to be, and that tells you what time it is. Amen. I know what time it is right now. I serve a present tense God. I know where he's at right now. Don't take me back 2,000 years. Don't just leave me in Calvary. Let me know what he's doing right now. Amen. Oh, my, my, my. We know what he's doing right now. And if you know what he's doing right now, then you do know what's next. Oh, see, I'm kind of like Brother Jerry. Now I'm like, there's more to this because this ain't just it for me. This ain't just my home right now. I'm not even making this place my home. I'm just passing through this thing. Oh, how can I say with such certainty that I'm just passing through? How can I say that I'm going to see my loved ones again? Because I talk to God day by day. He reassures me over and over again. He says, can I hide anything? That's what God says to me. Oh, the rest of this church world is lost, dark. They didn't even in the Bible says they're miserable, naked. And don't even know it. Don't even know it. We know what we have. We're not going through this thing blindly. We know exactly what we have. Oh, my, my, my. Let me cut this. Let me read this quote. This is going to make so much sense on why I was excited. I'm going to read this quote. I'm going to go to this quote. Before I get there, I thought, you know, even when we say we're uniting, when we unite, because we are. The uniting is taking place. You know, when you talk about John singing that new song, that in 63, the uniting happened. Because we try, because even in our carnal minds, we try to make it like so much time. So much time has to pass. No, it can happen a moment, twinkling eye. 63, it opened up. That was it. It opened up. That it doesn't get more open than this. God didn't crack the door. It opened up. We're coming into the understanding of all that's opened up. But he's not revealing adding pages to the Bible. He's not adding new books. We're not finding the book of the Maccabees and finding something. God's already opened it up. We have an open book now, and we're just learning more and more about what we already had. These books already existed. The Bible was there the whole time. The book of Revelation was there the whole time. They didn't add chapter 19, Brother Isaiah. They didn't just put chapter 22 in there. Chapter 5 didn't just show up 3 weeks ago. It's been there the whole time. But it's opening up in our eyes that we can see it and understand it more clearly. But that doesn't mean 63. What I'm getting at is we didn't need to add one thing to what happened in 63. Everything that came was perfect for what we need. We're still eating off that unfailing. Unfailing. That means it can't fail. The unfailing word of God. That's what we're eating off of right now. And it's present. It's giving us our daily bread every day. But I thought when we see that scripture, there's a scripture that says, We shall meet them and then meet him in the air. That's how the scripture reads. We shall unite first. The dead in Christ shall rise. And first. And then we will meet him in the air. That's why it's exciting to talk about uniting. That's why it's exciting. Because what's next? We're meeting him in the air. Oh, I even love how, you know, Sister Mel alluded to it, but I thought, it's so real to me. That we're going to see Sister Teresa just, come on, Brother Jay, sing with me. What in the, let's get out of here. Pastor Moore going to see his mom just stand up from the piano. So let's get out of here. Oh, you'll recognize him then. You ain't got to go, I ain't got to go all the way back to see Irena's get up. No, you bring somebody that I know, somebody that I've seen, one of my loved ones. Let me see my, that's why it's even your loved ones. Oh, well, let me see one of my loved ones. You won't have to convince me then. You don't got to twist my arm then. Let them stand. Let Brother Childers say, I knew you'd get it, brother. Come on. Let's get out of here. Let's wrap this thing up. Let's get out of here. Let's go on into perfection. Amen. Oh, it won't be long then. That's instant. Oh, that's what I want to see. See, that's even changing my mindset, because sometimes I'm like, well, will I know what Martin looks like? Will I know what color? Right, that's just carnal stuff. That's just garbage. I know what Sandy Monday looks like. Oh, I know what Earl Childers looks like. Oh, Brother Danny, Lois. I know what they look like. It won't take long for me to recognize that face. Oh, I'll see them in their youth and say, oh my, it's time to go. Oh, I won't be worried about a job, worried about a bill, worried about that, worried about a car. I said, let's get out of here. And you're telling me that's next? And you want me to be worried about stuff down here? This life is just a vapor. 80 years is a vapor. 100 years is a vapor. When compared to eternity, my dinner is 1,000 years. Right? If you want to put time on it, I'm going to eat for 1,000 years. If you want to put time on it. But I look at these things, I go, we do so much carnal thinking. Like you said, Brother Don, our traditions make the word of God a none effect. We can see a healing. A healing. A healing. And then the next day go, well, Lord, I don't know if I can make it through this cold. Got a sore throat. And you'll see Sister Don get her lungs replaced. You'll see cancer fall off Brother John. You'll see Brother Jay get two livers. And you'll sit there and cry about a sore throat. Come on now. Come on now. You know I know you. Come on now. It's Brother Jay here. We've been together. Come on now. Don't let Satan get in the way of anything. When you come in here, don't even worry about your understanding. Lean not to your understanding. Oh, I don't know how I'm taking the next step. Just keep walking. Oh, I don't know if I have enough strength to do it. Just take one more step. Oh, I don't know. I don't really see it like they see it. Just keep going. The same God that took care of the first revelation is going to take care of the last one. Oh, I didn't see it. You never seen it. You always got to look back to know what's going on. That's how man is anyway. Even Brother Childers said, you know, give it enough time, they'll understand the soul change. Give it enough time, they'll understand predestination. Give it enough time, man, they'll be able to look back. But I praise God that I took a step before I could see it. I praise God I'm not like Doubting Thomas. You know the story? Doubting Thomas had to touch Jesus. He had to say, well, I want to see the scars. I see them, but let me touch them. That's two levels of doubt right there. I see Jesus, I know it, but let me touch it. Jesus had to rebuke that spirit even as glorified. Said, blessed are those that didn't need to see Thomas. Blessed are those that didn't need to touch it. Blessed are those that didn't need to hang out with Brother Branham. Blessed are those that didn't need to see the sheep or the squirrels get shot down. Praise God that I could just be out in the wilderness and say, Brother Branham, I get it now. I see why you wanted to be out here. Brother Branham, I get it now. I can see what you're talking about. And I have a revelation that I can see God even in nature. Oh, when I see that life sprout up, you don't got to add bark to the tree. That tree don't need you to do nothing, Brother Jerry. When that seed starts to grow, it don't need your help. You don't got to add anything to it. You don't got to put a dome around. Matter of fact, the more stuff you put on there, you'll kill it. A plant starts growing, you go, oh, I want to protect it from the weather. Let me put a dome over it and kill it. Oh, let me make sure nobody touches it. You'll kill it. Oh, let me put enough chemicals on there to kill everything around it. You'll kill it. That's how it is, even with the Word of God. You go, oh, I want to make sure I make it so soft that the next new person can just, nope, you're going to kill them. Let God give them the water that they need. And if it drowns them out, then they weren't made for this. No harm, no foul. All that I love. See, like I'm like Brother Jerry now. Wait, that ain't the end of it. All that I love and all that love me. No stipulations on it. No conditions on it. I have an unconditional covenant with God. Oh, he didn't say all that love you that serve God. See, because see, church world appointed, put that on there. They want to limit God. But I'm kind of looking at this now. I'm saying there's more room than I even thought was going to be over there. Because we try to make the marriage supper table just 100 people. You know, me and my wife got a venue, and every now and again somebody say, well, we want to bring X number of people. I'm like, ain't enough room. Right? Wish I could take your money, but it ain't enough room. That's how the church world treats heaven. Oh, I see you doing all right. You're doing okay, but I can't take all that. You got a little bit of a problem there. We ain't got room for those kind of people. Oh, you like chocolate ice cream, but vanilla ice cream's the only people going to be in heaven. Oh, you like Neapolitan? You like all the ice cream? Oh, you definitely can't go to heaven. Right? However you want to slice it. They put prices on there. They put limitations on there. But I've heard God say that he's got to get rid of the ocean. Because there's going to be so many people. Oh, take all those limitations off of me, Satan. Take all those strings off of me. All that I love. All that I love will be there. Don't put no limitations on it. That's what I know is coming up next. Amen. Now I'm singing in perfect harmony. Now I know that nobody's lost. Amen. Oh, see, because the church world, they do it differently. And you say, church world, I don't know. The more I'm in this thing, the more the message people become the church world to me. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because the church world, they know they're gone. They don't even believe in God, and they know it, right? They've denominated so much that the Methodist looks like the Catholic looks like the Presbyterian. They know they're wrong. They know it. They know they're doing it for money. But the church world, they're pretending like they're not doing it for money. I mean, the message, most message people are pretending like they're not doing it for money. Like trying to put on a front. So humble, but pay your tithes and browbeat you. I'm like, man, come on. Didn't you get this freely? What did you pay Brother Branham? What did you pay him? What did you pay him to know that the seals were open? I even know that they were handing out the books and the tapes for free. So how does that line up? We paying penance. That's really what it is. Because they try to kill your influence. Hey, my kids could do something bad and they'll put me out. Yeah, they will. They'll put me out and I'm raising them right. I'm whooping them. I'm keeping them in the house. And they'll do something bad and they'll be like, well, Brother Jay don't have control of this house. What am I supposed to do with an 18-year-old? What do you want me to do? Come on. Come on. Let's be real. Right? We're real, right? I'm giving it to you straight. You know what I learned? I learned that just being honest is enough. I don't got to remember the story. I don't got to remember what happened. You come and get me 12 years from now, and I'm going to be like, yep, that's the truth. That was the truth. This is what I had to deal with. This is what I had to do. But I'm looking at this and saying, just be honest. Like the church world and the message people, they're blending in a lot more closely than I thought before. But what's blending is just unbelief, Brother Jerry. That's all it is. They can't go all the way with this thing. When God starts taking limitations off, they want to put them back on. And you go, oh, Brother Jerry, I'm going to get back to this quote here. But I look at that and go, it's not that I'm saying you can do anything you want. Because this the love of Christ should constrain you. You should have an obligation. Oh, I'm not telling you to do whatever you want. I don't get to do whatever I want. I don't get to do whatever I want. Come on now. None of us get to do whatever we want. Come on now. Come on now. Who was putting straw out in the wilderness to sleep out there? Raise your hand. I know it was all the whole church. I saw it. Everybody was putting straw out. And they were all happy to sleep outside. Okay, exactly. So don't act like you all get to do whatever you want. When God says to move, we move. Amen. That's what I want. I want to move when God says to move. That's the end of it. Oh, if it makes my flesh uncomfortable, so what? My flesh ain't going anyway. I know my soul's going to be edified. I'm going to sit around the fire and fellowship around the Word of God, and that's exactly what I need. Yes. When God says to move, I move. I don't wait till it's comfortable. It'll never be comfortable. It'll never be comfortable. I've seen people that play instruments, and they go, well, y'all practice too much. Okay, it'll never be comfortable then. You get a talent, don't want to give it to God. It'll never be comfortable. Oh, y'all have church too much. I can't meet with God enough. I can't meet with him enough. I go to work 5-6 days a week for a job that's temporal. And you want me to limit to how much time I'm going to get with God? I hope we have church 7 days a week. I wish we had it in the morning and the evening. I'd be a much better person. Anxiety would be lower. Depression would be lower. Blood pressure would be lower. I'm just telling you, if we had the Word of God all in all like that, it would make a believer feel much better. I look forward to getting to church. I got to set an alarm for work. I look forward to going to church. I got to set an alarm for that. I look forward to this thing. But all I'm saying is that, you know, the church, they try to make it like it's not hard, Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry Allen said it right. We're having fun in this thing. Amen. I'm enjoying this thing. I enjoy my walk with God. He keeps blessing me more. Every time I look around, I see another blessing. I see another friendship. I see another relationship. I see God just moving there. Amen. Oh, he strengthens everything. Amen. He makes everything better. But back to this quote, because you guys know this quote. But now we're in perfect harmony. See, you said, uh-oh, you know. Now we're in perfect harmony. See, this is Christ the mystery. What happens? What's harmony now? We know it's more than one voice saying it. But we're not in unity. We're singing in harmony now. I don't got to redo justification. We understand that that's not my part to sing. I'm not singing justification. That's not my part to sing. Oh, I'm not trying to put the word in. I'm taking the word out. I'm not going down in the ground. I'm coming out. That's my part to sing. It says the new birth is Christ is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. So when he's revealed it, that means it's not a mystery anymore, Sister Mel. And that's a new birth. That's it. Now, Brother Branham goes on to say, now, what are you going to do when you get all that group, the us again, that group together, where the revelation of the ages is perfectly in harmony? I'm not trying to do their job. They're not trying to do my job. What are you going to do when you get that group? It's perfectly in harmony. And God expressing it through his word by the same actions. Oh, the same things that he did making the word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position. Now his exclamation point, Brother Branham said. If the church only knew its position. See, this is why I love that this is a living document. Pastor Moore said that about the Bible. Said this is a living document. It will one day. Uh-oh. Brother Branham knew it would happen. Brother Branham was prophesying. He was a prophet. He said, if they only knew their position. Now, this is in 63 he's preaching this. So things have already been opened up. He's saying they will know their position one day. It's been open. They'll get it one day. They don't have it now in 63. But they will one day. What day will they know that, Brother Branham? Right now. Now, this day. Oh, my. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. That's right now. We know what it is. Oh, Sister Mel started off. She knows what it is. Jesus said it to Lazarus. He said it at the tomb. I am the resurrection. I am the life. That's the same thing we're saying. That's what we know. I am the resurrection to this body. I am the life to this body. The life come through us to get to them. Oh, my. See, because when that life comes, nothing you can do now. You set a man on fire and tell him to sit down, you can't do it now. All right, I know what it is now. You can't trick me now. Oh, there was a time that I didn't see it clearly that I was in there. And I thought maybe everybody else was. There was a time that I'd come here and go, I'm kind of like Brother Spears was. He'd say, I don't have what Brother Childers has, but I want it. That's what Brother Spears, that was his testimony. He'd say, I don't have what Brother Childers has, but I want it. There came a time, though. There was going to come a day. And even Brother Childers knew that. There'll be a day, Brother Bob, where you'll know what it is for yourself. Perfect harmony. Where you're going to sing just your song. You won't want to sing my part, Brother Bob. You're going to know your words to your song. You're going to sing your part, and it's going to go perfectly in harmony with my part. And that's how it was for me. I'm sitting here. Oh, I'm not good enough to do this. I'm not good enough to that. I'm holding up the rapture here. I'm holding up that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Right? That's just telling you myself. Oh, I hear it does sound good, but I can never live up to this. I can never do that. Then I saw my name in the book. Then I saw that I'll never be good enough. I never will deserve the grace that I get. I was born unworthy. There's a part of me that has to die for me to be able to go into this thing. Don't worry about that. Then I recognized that it had already died. I started looking back. I said, what do you do with the word, Brother Jay? I had talked to myself. I just say amen. Even when you're wrong, yeah, it's still amen. Even when you want to run, I still say amen. Even when you know you're out, I still say amen. I gave myself a little self-assessment. I was like, you know, like in school when you can grade your own test. Normally that's when you pull out the other pencil and try to change answers. Because I was a bad kid. That's when you're going to like, let me make this D a B and C a A, right? And I had it going through and I'm like, I don't need to change that one. Don't need to change that one. Don't need to change that one. These are all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. I looked around and said, I may not do everything everybody else does, but I know I believe the word of God. And that makes me ready. Oh, my. When you know you're all right, oh, it don't matter. And it's kind of like how Pastor Moore had that revelation. He said, I wouldn't want to be in anybody else's shoes. That's how it was for me. I sat there and I looked and I thought, you know, Jeremiah is a great person. And I believe that he has the word of God. I believe he has a revelation. I believe it for him. He's manifest everything that a believer would do. But I know what I have. Now Jeremiah could be acting. Jeremiah could be putting on airs. Come from good stock. Got a family of believers. That Allen family's good. He's been taught generationally to be good. This first generation good right here. I'm just telling you. So he could be doing good. He could just be doing all that he knows to do. But I'm saying through the miry clay, through the mud, through the darkness, there's a light on the inside of me that even I can't put out. There's a fire burning on me that nobody can put out. God set this man on fire, and God's the only one that can deal with it. That's what I realized. I thought, everybody else might be good. I might be the weak link when it comes to good living. But I do know that I got a revelation. And they're saying that's all I need. I'm good. I'm ready for the journey. Then I begin to sing a new song. Then I'll be able to say, I can testify a little bit about where I'm coming from. Oh, you may not see it from the dark alleys that I came from to let you know that God is still good. You may not have the stories where you almost got into a fight and God changed your temperament. You may not have the stories where you thought this and thought that and now you're thinking differently. Amen. You might have just been thinking pure your whole life. But I'm looking at it saying, God changed me. Yeah. I'm like Sister Spears now. If you could see where he's brought me from. Amen. Woo! To where? Come on now. To where I am today. If you knew that path, if you knew what I had to go through, if you knew what I saw, if you knew how bad I thought I was to where I am now, then you would understand why you can't sit me down. Then you would understand why Satan's no match for me. Then you would understand why I understand what's eternal and what's temporal. Then you would know why I'm so strong because of what I had to push off. Oh, my. Saints, a little bit of resistance is good for you. Go through a little bit of something. Even Brother Childress said, you need to be rugged. Go through something. A lot of these weak Christians don't ever want to go through nothing. And we use the term hothouse plant. Yeah, that term is for people that don't understand that. You raise a plant in the house, that's a hothouse plant. It don't have to deal with the winter. It don't have to deal with the summer. And if it looks like it's wilting a little bit, you just turn it. It don't even have to move itself. You just turn it. If it looks like it's messing up, you move it away. If it looks like it's not eating enough, you give it some plant food. If it looks like it needs some water, you give it to it. It don't get the rain pouring down on it to wash it out. It don't get the sun on it to beat it down. Winds blow. But those high house plants, you know, if you ever pull one, the roots only go this deep. They ain't got no roots. They not digging into the ground, going around rocks, locking in, holding down, saying, when the storms come, I know what to hold on to. I got a rock of revelation that no matter how much it blows, I'm just going to dig in a little bit deeper. It's going to help me to wiggle in a little bit deeper to stay where I'm at. Oh, we've been through some storms. I've been through some rain. I've been through some snow. I've seen all the weather. I've seen all the elements, and it ain't moved me yet. Oh, my. Matter of fact, I'm stronger because of the storms. I'm stronger because of the rain. I'm stronger because of the weather. Oh, see those hothouse plants, they don't go through any temperature. They don't go through any temperature changes. You take a hothouse plant, leave it in the house all year, then in the winter, take it out and dig it and put it in the ground. You've instantly killed it. Instantly killed it. I did something dumb like that, and I'm going to get down here in a second. So me and Miss Courtney were dating, taking y'all back 100 years. And me, I'm just trying to impress her. You know how it is, brothers. Doing dumb stuff. So we get this Christmas tree, and it's me and Brother Jeremiah living together. She knows the story. We get this Christmas tree. We set this tree up. After Christmas is over, she says, you know you should just plant that back in the ground. And I'm like, okay. You think I can plant that back in the ground? I'm take this tree, dig a hole, plant it. That tree was dead as a doornail before I took it outside. I wasn't taking care of it in the house. Roots wasn't growing. I had already chopped it in half. I put that thing in the ground. 5 days later, we got a brown tree outside. Right? It wasn't ready for nothing. That's how some of these Christians are. They sitting around in the house all lit up. And then you get them out to the Word and you say, I'm going to put you in the ground a little bit. I'm going to let you go through something a little bit. Let you experience some rain. Let you experience the snow. Let you experience some coldness. Die. Dead. They were dead when you took them out there. But we are alive. Those that are alive and remain shall not hinder those that are asleep. Hey, there's nothing I can do that can stop the rapture. I got a revelation of that. There is nothing that I can do to stop the rapture.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Jay, if you do that. No, there is. I'm not big enough to stop God.
Right.
Let's say it that way. I'm not big enough to stop the plan of God. This thing is thousands of years in motion. You think my little vapor of a life is going to be affecting that? No. Matter of fact, when they think about this group, they don't care about Brother Jay. That's not what they care about. What did this group do with the Word? That's why they're going to look at you in amazement. How did you guys go through that neurotic age and get through all that to bring the Word of God? How, when it was total darkness, did you stay light? God did that. God kept us. God held us. We held the God, and God held us. And sometimes when I let go, He still held on to me. See, that's why I have grace, because I know sometimes I let go. But God still held on to me. Because see, I don't even want to get so righteous to think, oh, I've always kept it first. I've always... No, there's times that I made it second and third.
Right.
It might as well be last place. If God ain't first, He might as well be last.
Right.
He don't tolerate any other place.
Amen.
But there's times that I made Him last place. And He still kept me first.
Yes.
He still held me. Still took care of me. I can go back in my life and go, oh, when I was a knucklehead, a crackerjack, looking at doing things, doing all this wrong stuff, God was still protecting me,
Amen.
Guarding me, keeping... He was putting bumpers around me the whole time.
Amen.
He knew I'd be a knucklehead and fall out. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I got to give you a roommate that's going to keep God first. Because you need a good example, bub. I've been a big brother for a long time, and Brother Jeremiah had to be my big brother.
Right.
Hey, we know you got church on Sunday. I see you trying to be going out on Saturday. We got church on Sunday. I see you there. Right? Right? I'm just telling you, you need a friend like that.
Yes.
You need somebody to hold you accountable.
Yes.
You need somebody to be honest with you. So you can look back and say, they never lied to me. They always took care of me. They always guarded for me. And I look back at my life and I go, God has always, always provided a way. Always helped me. Always. And then I get here to the point where maybe I can help somebody else. I'm going to do it. Because I look back on thousands of examples of God always helping me. But bride, we're singing in perfect harmony now. I know I'm not trying to sing your song. They're not trying to sing my song. I'm singing my song and it's in perfect harmony. We're aligned with them. We're united now. It's uniting time. This is the uniting time. The last thing we're going to do is see them. You know, even Brother Don Deskins had that song we were singing about the fire, View the Land. He said, there my faith will end in sight. That's a lyric. My faith will end in sight. I don't need faith once I see them. Once I see it, that's the end of my faith. But right now I need faith. Right now I use faith. But my faith will end in sight. When I see them, that's the it. I won't need faith then. I'll have them there in front of me. That'll be the manifestation of everything that I've prayed for, of everything that I've wanted, of everything that I've called for. My faith will end in sight. Oh, I love that song. It said, I'm kind of homesick for a place I've never been before. Oh, that's us right now. I'm kind of homesick for a place I've never been before. That's my home. You know, he even said, you can't even go to heaven unless you come from heaven. I even like how Pastor Moore pointed that out. Even Jesus Christ, not only Jesus Christ, but even Jesus Christ, even Jesus, him too, him also, him as well, our brother. He had to do that, and we have to do that. I'm going back to where I come from. Oh, my saints, I love you. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
Perfect harmony.
Yes.
Perfect harmony. And I'm not going to go into it tonight, but even with music, that ties in with it too. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, back to do. You look at a keyboard, you start C to C. And if you play them right, it sounds beautiful. If you play them wrong, it sounds like your grandkids at your piano. Now, I've seen both happen. But the thing about music, when you're in perfectly in harmony, like the bride is now, we're not stepping on their notes, and they're not trying to step on ours. Do you know, as much as you're going to be proud about Luther, Luther's going to be proud about you. Because Luther's singing one note, but our note is in perfect pitch with him. And now, you know, Brother Branham talked about the orchestra and the symphony. He says you got to get in the same spirit as the conductor. We finally have done that. We're finally in the same spirit of the conductor. Now we're singing, and we're not hitting any note that anybody else has ever hit. And they need us just as much as we need them. If you're playing an instrument, a piano, or whatever it is, and you just play one note, it doesn't sound near as good as if you can put seven notes in there. And here we are now at the end time in perfect harmony with the entire Word of God. And we're not trying to make this happen. It's happening despite us. It's happening in spite of us. Where we thought we could mess it up, you can't even hit a wrong note now. Because it's not you singing. It's him singing. It's his story. I like the way Brother Jay said it, and I was thinking about it when he said it. I said, you know, when we look at Luther, we're not going over the Luther's life and see how he lived and where he lived and who he hung with and all those. All we know about Luther, and all we need to know about Luther, is the just shall live by faith. That's it. Now, Luther, from what I heard, was tough. He's a pretty rough guy and had what we would call problems and issues. That's why Luther didn't even know if he was going to be saved. He's praying every night, Lord, somehow save me, somehow save me. And the whole time he was singing in perfect harmony. And so when they look at you, when this is all wrapped up and done, and all the music is done, and the bodies are changed, and we go over there to the marriage supper, and you're sitting across the table from Paul, or you're sitting across the table from Moraine. And he looks at you and he says, "You, who are you?" And you're going to say, "I'm the final voice to the final age." And he's going to say, "It was you? You're the one that we talked about. You're the one that we laid our head down knowing that it was coming. You're the whole reason that we could lay our head down, because we knew if it wasn't us, it was going to be the next group. Somebody was going to do. You were the final voice to the final age. You were the one who had the entire understanding of God." Now here you are sitting across the table from Paul or Aeneas or Martin, anybody. You sit across there, you're not going to be sitting there and say, "Oh man, the day before I had a problem. Me and my wife had a battle and we fought over. And the kids said, and my job, I just..." You're not. None of that is even going to be in the discussion. Because you are the final voice to the final age. You are the one who brought on the resurrection of the entire body. The life of Christ came down through you to the entire body. And it sort of changes your perspective on how you look at things, because only what you do for Christ will last. Everything else is temporal. You do your best. But when it's all said and done, what do we know about Luther? The just shall live by faith. What do we know about Wesley? Sanctification. What do we know about Pentecost? Restoration of the gifts. What do we know about Brother Branham? Restoration of the Word. What do we know about you? Children whose hearts were turned back. Son of man and son of man age. The Revelation 10, 8 through 11, that was our job. We've done that. We're doing that. We're the very Word of God made flesh. And when you look at it like God looks at it, you won't be so hard on yourself. Because you'll realize that you are here fulfilling the Word of God. And that's really the only purpose in life. It's not here to get married. It's not here to have kids. It's not here to have retirement. It's not here to do all that other stuff. If you get it, fine. But I'm here to do thy will, O God. That's the voice of the bride. That's the heart of the bride. That's where the perfect harmony comes in. We're going to sing our part just like they're singing their part. And I'm not going to try to repeat Luther's song. And in the book of Revelation, I talked about this when Jay was preaching. When those elders got those seals open, they start singing. And John was like, man, that sounds good, but. And then John looked over there, and he saw his name. And he pitched this note. And he started singing, and he was singing so much and right in harmony with the rest of them that the elders were like, amen, John. Amen. Go on with your bad self. But just remember, John was the type of you. The song that we're singing now is a song that they sang in 63. They've been singing it since 1963. We're just now starting to join in on the song. But we're in perfect harmony with the whole song of God. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor. To God be the glory for the things he has done. That's all we're singing. Come on, musicians. That's all we're singing. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. A prayer call? Yes, ma'am. That's in the key of F, by the way. Now you say, if this is the end time and healing came about under the restoration of the gifts, why do we do it? Because it's part of us. It's part of the body. I believe in healing like I've ever believed in here. I believe in justification as much as I've ever believed in. I believe in sanctification just as much as I believed it. Just as much as I believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I still believe that God could take this little cloth and answer the prayer to wherever it's going. You say, well, I thought we're not. It's still part of us. It's part of the song. It's part of the body. So we're going to pray for this cloth, and we're going to have her take it and have God do what he does best. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening so grateful for your word. Sister Judy's here standing in the gap for someone who has a need of this prayer cloth. Father, we know that by your word, Lord, you've already paid the price. It's done. And Lord, we just thank you for it in advance and claim the healing. Solve the problem. Move in behalf. Settle their mind. Settle their body. Whatever the need is, Lord, you know I don't. But you knew Judy was going to ask for this cloth. And you knew that it was going to go forth to do that it's ordained to do. Ask you, Lord, to just move tonight. And we thank you in advance for answering our prayers. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'm glad I'm a part of this family. Amen. No better family could there be. Amen. You pray for us. We're going out of town this weekend, so keep my family in your prayers. We'll be gone for a little bit, but I'm sure y'all know what to do. I've seen it on the videos, and I've seen it online, and I get jealous when I say, they act like they don't even know I'm not there. But that's okay. You have a good time. And I'll see you all when we return. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been born of His Spirit and cleansed by His blood. I am joint heirs with Jesus as we travel. I'm a part of the family of God. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been born of His Spirit and cleansed by of God. I'm so glad
of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood.